Yes, it is. All right, we promised you, my man Tony Pauline from the Pro Football Network website, profootballnetwork.com. You can follow him like I do and so many others at Tony Pauline on Twitter. He was out there at the East-West Shrine Game with yours truly. Let's get his perspective on what happened over the last couple of days. Tony, how you doing, my friend?
Can barely hear
there
you.
There we go. Now we got
there
you.
There you go. Outstanding.
There we go. It's a beautiful thing. Hey, before we start on anything, T, explain to the folks the story you broke about Michael Pinckney from the Miami Dolphins, from the Miami Hurricanes.
What I had heard was, you know, I tweeted out on Monday that both of the Miami linebackers, Pinckney and Quarterman, were really struggling in coverage drills. And it didn't surprise me that Quarterman was struggling because he's a two down in the box type of run defender. Pinckney, it did surprise me because he's an athletic guy who usually shows a lot of range on the field, goes sideline to sideline. What I found out was he's got a hip issue. It's not a major hip issue, but it's been bothering him through the season, and he's been playing in a lot of pain. And he probably could have sat out the Shrine game, but he decided to go and compete. It's a situation that's got to be fixed, and I'm told the fixing is sort of an adjustment, a chiropractic type of adjustment, where they will just – I didn't get the details, but it just got to be adjusted back into place. I'm told that there is no surgery needed at this time, and there's likely no surgery needed in the future. But the hopes are once they adjust the hip back into place, he'll be pain-free, and then he's expected to run very fast at the combine. So my takeaway was Pinckney has been playing in a bit of pain, not just this week at the Shrine game, but probably during the last month or so, if not longer, during the season, which kind of explained why he was struggling so badly in coverage drills, because he's an athletic guy. He's an explosive guy. He's a guy who chews up a lot of ground in a short period of time, and I was surprised by what I saw.
All right, Tony, you know the position of need for the Dolphins is all over the place, but obviously quarterback has been the thing that they've been coveting for a while. And in this game, there were a couple project guys that are kind of interesting in Davidson and Morgan and even Kelly Bryant. Talk to us a little bit about this class, what you like about those guys, and why maybe those guys might be interesting projects in the third day of the draft.
Yeah, and that's what they are. They're projects. I don't think really Morgan is a project. I think Morgan is a guy who is more NFL ready. The problem is he just doesn't have a big, strong arm. I think James Morgan is smart. He's a guy who gets it between the ears. He's got a great understanding. His accuracy and pass placement was top-notch. I mean, absolutely top-notch. But he just doesn't possess a big-time arm. And there are limitations with that. So I think if you take James Morgan, you know, on the last day of the draft, you're basically looking at him as a career backup or a spot starter. Kevin Davidson's an interesting story. I mean, he was a first-year starter at Princeton this year. He had the strongest arm of anybody at the Shrine game. He can fling the ball down the field. He's got excellent size. The problem is sometimes you don't know where the ball's going to end up. He was accurate on some passes. He wasn't accurate on others. I thought that he was pressing a bit with to try and show off his arm strength. And because, you know, as we witnessed, there wasn't a lot of speed at the receiver position in the Shrine game. So I think he was trying to take some chances down the field with the hopes that some of, you know, he could show off his big arm and his deep ball, but the receivers were just not fast enough to catch up to it. So he's got to learn to put a little touch on. He's got to learn the nuances of the position. He started 1 year at Princeton. And he started 1 year at Princeton because they had a real good guy ahead of him who's now a tight end with the Cleveland Browns.
Yep.
Because he was a terrific athlete, and Davidson just couldn't see the field. So it's a situation where, with Davidson where you're looking at a guy, if you draft him, you know, he's maybe going to spend a year on the practice squad to learn the position. I got to spend some time with him. I got to talk with him. He's a bright individual.
Yeah.
He's a motivated guy. He wants to play football. It's just he hasn't really played that much the last 4 years, even 5 years. He didn't play except for four games his senior year in high school. So it's just a matter of getting him to work.
Yeah.
Kelly Bryant, I like what I saw from Kelly Bryant. I mean, I like Kelly Bryant when he was a freshman and sophomore at Clemson. I thought he had big-time potential. Obviously, he lost out to Dexter Lawrence. You know, Kelly Bryant showed some flashes of brilliance the past 3 days. Accurate down-the-field passes, dropping the ball in the bucket 45 yards down the field. He showed great patience. He showed poise. He made one play yesterday where he got out of the pocket and made a great play on the move. But he also showed a lot of inconsistency, and that's the problem with Kelly Bryant. I think with Kelly Bryant, especially coming out of Missouri system, it's a situation where you're going to have to start from the ground up. really work him. He needs a good quarterback coach. He needs some good development. And I think you could have something on your hands with Kelly Bryant. But again, you're looking at a very late round pick and a guy that's going to take a year or two before he's NFL ready.
You didn't. You how any of the other guys? Your didn't really catch your eye.
A lot of them caught my eye in the sense that I wouldn't touch them. I mean, they just were not. After the three guys we mentioned, I mean, it was really downhill for a lot of those other quarterbacks.
All right. Getting pressure on the quarterback is a major need for the Dolphins. And again, I thought there were a couple of pretty interesting guys that could help out teams in that third day. Talk to us a little bit about what you saw on the defensive side.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, I thought Mike Dana of Michigan, really, he got better and better as the week went on, and he really showed a lot of skill on Wednesday. When Wednesday's a big day of practice. In fact, you know, opponents were resorting to basically holding him and throwing him to the ground. He's athletic. He's fast up the field. He gets a lot of pressure. You know, didn't have much playing time this year at Michigan, but that's because he was the third defensive end. They got two good guys in front of him, one we're going to see next week in Josh Uche at the Senior Bowl. But that is the guy, I think, somewhere in the middle of day three, you could have a situational pass rusher. I like what I saw from Bryce Huff out of Memphis. I've been a Bryce Huff fan for two, almost 3 years now. He showed ability standing over tackle. He showed ability coming out of a three-point stance. He's got linebacker size. He's not really big, and he's a guy who's got to get the first step off opponents.
But he's strong. But, dude, he's strong, man. I give him credit. He's got some power.
He struggles getting off blocks. You got to develop some of those. And I think it's the fact that he primarily, you know, they used him out of a three-point stance where he wasn't used all that much over his career at Memphis out of a three-point stance. I thought Derek Tuzak of Tuzka, however you pronounce his last name, with North Dakota State, showed a couple of good things. So, but again, I think those are all guys you're looking at in the last day of the draft. And guys that they could make an active roster, be situational pass rushers, special team players at the next level.
All right, so offensive linemen, talk to me first. Interior guys, because there were a couple that I really like. You and I both like the Rhode Island kid. He caught my eye, man. I think that's a nice little project, again, to work with.
Very good player. Technically, he was outstanding, and I was talking to a couple of people about him. I mean, the way he bends his knees, the way he blocks with leverage, he's a solid position blocker. He gets it between the ears. You could see a couple times when they threw blitzes, he was able to adjust and redirect and pick it up. He showed the ability to get on the second level and hit a moving target. He's undersized. I mean, he's barely 290 pounds. You come from Rhode Island, you're going to need a year or two in an NFL weight training program. He's got to get stronger. He's got to add some bulk to his frame, but he's got the athleticism. He's got the agility, and he knows how to play with proper fundamentals, which is, you know, something that's key. So, again, you know, a last day pick, fifth round earliest, more like a sixth, seventh rounder, but a guy that you're going to develop 1 or 2 years down the road. I liked what I saw from Calvin Throckmorton of Oregon. I didn't think he was lights out, but I mean, here's a guy who played right tackle at Oregon. He lined up at guard and center at the Shrine Game, did a good job at guard, did a solid job at center. So that sort of versatility, you know, you get a guy like that in the fifth round who could end up starting for you. I thought Throckmorton did a good job. John Runyon of Michigan also showed some solid things. Again, a college tackle who they kicked into guard. And keep this name on your lips. Kevin Dotson out of Louisiana. I mean, this is a guy who was a real good player at Louisiana for 3 years. Didn't get the due that he was credited. I've liked him since he was a freshman. Went there and really showed a lot of good things against, I mean, the defensive line was the strongest area in the Shrine Game for both the East and the West squads, and I thought Dotson did a good job against the players he faced against.
Did you like Onwenu from Michigan? I like him, man. I do. I like him.
As we talked yesterday, he was a guy who was graded as a street free agent by scouts coming into the year. I thought he was a last day worthy. He's very explosive and he's very strong on film. The problem is he's too big. He goes about 345, 350 pounds. He's a bit top heavy. He's one of those guys where once he gets his hands on the opponent, game over. He's taking the guy out of the play and he's able to control the guy. The issue for him is sometimes he lunges or he overextends in the blocks and he's off balance. He's got the basic fundamentals. He's got good short area quickness. He does a good job blocking with leverage and bending his knees. the thing for Wenyu is he's got to lose 25 to 30 pounds, really get himself in shape and improve his blocking balance. If he does that, he can play on Sunday.
Darrell Williams from Mississippi State, what's your thoughts on the center?
You know, I thought he was up and down. I did watch him. I thought he had a couple of good snaps where he looked, he looked NFL caliber. I also thought that there was a lot of inconsistency at times where he was getting beat by opponents. If he gets drafted, you're looking in the late rounds. I think he's more of an NFL backup. In my opinion, just didn't do anything to stand out to me like some of the other guys did.
All right. Wide receiver. Dude, I thought there were a lot of interesting names here, a lot of tall guys in this one. Although one guy that wasn't big was Mason Kinsey from Barry. That kid put on a show yesterday.
Not just yesterday. I mean, all 3 days. He was good from the start. Monday practice, it was him and Malcolm Perry from Navy. And then Perry kind of couldn't keep up the pace, but Perry could not keep up the pace. But Barry just kept, Malcolm Kinsey from Barry kept on improving and improving. They could not cover this guy. He is so quick. He's quick off the line. He runs scissor sharp routes. They can't stay, no cornerback could stay on his hip out of routes. He was constantly getting separation. He catches the ball incredibly well. He's got tremendous quickness. He doesn't have top end speed, not a deep threat, and he's a little bit small. But I think he's a guy that, with the way he played, if you're not stuck on the measurables, with the way he played, I think you've got to consider this guy in the very late rounds as a slot receiver, punt returner, that sort of player. He seems very motivated. He basically stepped up. I mean, who really knew of Barry? And I know he was graded by scouts coming into the year, but really before Monday, who knew of Barry College? We're talking about Mason Kinsey here as a potential draft pick, and it's because of his play. He was absolutely terrific. I mean, he's one of these small scatterbug type of skill players that, I harken back, and I know Miami fans remember this name, a Wayne Krabet type, where, people laugh because he's so small, but the guy knows how to play football, the guy knows how to get open, the guy knows how to catch the football. And I think eventually there's going to be a place for him at the next level.
All right, so that's a small guy. Tell me about a couple of the long, lanky guys that actually impressed this week, whether it's Gavin or Parker or Overton, Wright, you name it. Tell me.
Yeah, I liked Isaiah Wright. Isaiah Wright was quiet on Monday. I thought he really picked it up Tuesday and Wednesday. A bigger, taller guy. Doesn't have the great quickness and speed, but when the ball's up there, that jump ball's up there, he's going up and he's coming down with it. We had a lot of nice receptions where he's able to leave his feet and basically went out for the contested throw. I thought Nick Westbrook of Indiana, another guy who goes about 6'5", 215 pounds, I thought he had a terrific week. Again, doesn't have the great quickness or speed, but made a lot of nice receptions. Had a nice deep reception on a throw. I think it was from Kelly Bryant. I'm not absolutely sure about that. Where it was 40 yards down the field, he had a defender draped on the draped on his back, over the shoulder reception, made a couple of nice catches in the red zone. So I liked Isaiah Wright. I also liked Nick Westbrook a lot, sort of the taller receivers. The question with those guys, again, it's easy when you're 6'5", 6'4½ to win out for those contested throws on the college level. When you get to the NFL, it's a different beast altogether. That lack of quickness and speed is going to hurt him. But still, there's a place for those guys. And that place is in the last day of the draft as your fourth or fifth receiver, where you're going to use them on third downs or in the red zone.
All right. And, of course, Tony Pauline from the ProFootballNetwork.com website. Follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. All right, Tony, let's wrap it up with this. Let's talk a little bit about the running backs. Who stood out to you? Guys like Feaster, the Notre Dame kid, I thought actually had a good week. What do you think?
I thought Jones from Notre Dame had a good last day during the week. He was kind of up and down. The running back that stood out for me really from the get-go, from day one, was James Robinson of Illinois State, a player that a lot of people thought should be playing in the Senior Bowl. He did it both as a ball carrier and as a pass catcher. I mean, he ripped off some big-time runs where he was able to scoot through the hole, make defenders miss, and here's a guy who's 215 pounds, caught the ball very, very well out of the backfield. I thought that he was the most consistent, the most productive back all 3 days.
If I remember correctly, on day two, he had a hell of a day with the blocking, too. I think, if I'm correct, he was the kid that I don't think he missed an assignment in that drill. I think that's the kid.
I thought Tavian Feaster, I mean, that could be true. But the thing with James Robinson is, like I said, he came into the season with mid-round grades. So a lot of people thought he should be playing in the Senior Bowl. If he runs incredibly well, he could slide into the third round. I still think he's more of a fourth, fifth round type back, but I still think he's a viable next level prospect, a guy who I think it will be a good rotational back. I agree with you about Tavian Feaster, especially with the blocking. I thought he was a sensational blocker all week. He showed some surprising quickness. You know, these games are a lot about expectations. You go to these games, if you are better than expected, you're faster than expected, you're quicker than expected, you run better routes than expected, you throw the ball with a stronger arm than expected. You know, that's what raises eyebrows. And I thought Feaster had much better than expected quickness. Also put the ball very well out of the backfield. You're looking at a late-round pick, but you're looking at a guy that, you know, could be a third-down back, could be a short-yardage runner, a guy that you're going to keep in the backfield on passing downs to protect protect your quarterback. I agree with you. I thought Feaster, from start to finish, had a real good week of practice.
So what are you guys doing on the Pro Football Network there, Tony, over the next couple of days so folks can check you out?
Well, we've got breakdowns of every single practice and shrine game, which both you and I were at. We're going to have some final analysis. Obviously, this weekend is championship weekend or the conference title game weekends. We'll have a breakdown of that. There'll be a little wagering information on that.
Oh, yeah.
And then next week, it's going to be wall-to-wall Senior Bowl coverage. I mean, we're going to have five guys out there breaking down all the players at each position. Story, content, which you won't be able to keep up with. We'll have some buzz features at night as to what's being said around the hall of the Players Hotel in Mobile. Going to be a lot of fun. Going to be a lot of work. Going to be a lot of stuff. So make sure you keep your mobile phones tuned in, because either on Twitter at Pro Football Network or at Tony Pauline, or you have your tablets with you or whatever you use to read the internet, because there'll be so much content, you won't have enough time to do what you're supposed to be doing.
There you go. And follow him on Twitter at Tony Pauline. And go to the website, profootballnetwork.com. Excellent website. Great read, as always. Tony, appreciate it, my brother. Look forward to seeing you next week at the Senior Bowl, my friend.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
You got it. There you go, the great Tony Pauline. Gotta love it, man. Good man there, as always, joining us on the program.